There's none like Jesus. There's nobody like Jesus. Did you know that? There's nobody like him. I'm going to bring a message this morning from Isaiah 40, and then I'm going to continue. I told you when I started last Sunday that I'll give two or three messages from this wonderful chapter. And I want you to look in Isaiah chapter 40. We read the first part, shared some of that. So for the sake of time, will you look with me, please? Let's begin reading this morning at verse number 12. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 12. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and meted out the heavens with a span and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counsel hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him and taught him in the paths of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop in the bucket, and are counted as a small dust in the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing, and Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing and vanity. To whom then will we liken God? Or what likeness will you compare unto him? The workman melteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold, and casteth silver chains. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooseth a tree that will not rot, and he seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Have you not been told from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundation of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth, and he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither. And the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom then will you liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things that bringeth out the host by number and calleth them all by names by the greatness of his might, or that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speaketh, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There's no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that hath no might he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. I want you to bow with me for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray now the Holy Ghost of God to help me. Our Father, I pray, God, that, Lord, you'd help us this morning somehow to, Lord, understand and comprehend the greatness of our God. God, I ask for your illumination, for your anointing, and, Lord, I pray you'd breathe on me. God, give me clearness of thought. Help me to be a blessing to your people. And God, I pray, God, you take me, a vessel of clay. Fill me with the Holy Ghost of God and power. And God, I pray you'd speak to the hearts of these dear friends gathered. And I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to look at two particular verses this morning that are repeated in a different way. But look at verse number 18. To whom will ye liken God? Or what likeness will you compare unto him? To whom then will you liken me? And shall I be equaled, saith the Lord, the Holy One? He said, who am I like? What likeness would you make of me? Well, now, this is of course a rhetorical question. He said, who are you going to compare me to? How can you, what likeness would you make of me? Now I want to remind you, in the Old Testament, there's a passage of scripture that says, he says to Israel, he said, now you'll remember when I spoke to you, you saw no image. You saw no visual form of me. He said, because I didn't want you to create any images of me. I didn't want you to fashion any statues or idols or even pictures. You have to be careful about that. I know that we have, some people have pictures of Jesus. But can I tell you, I'm pretty well sure Jesus did not have blonde hair and blue eyes. You can just mark that down. Matter of fact, the Song of Solomon says his hair is black and bushy as a raven. And Bible said there's no form nor comeliness that we should desire him. I do not believe that when Jesus was living on the earth, he was an especially handsome man. I believe if he was in this crowd this morning, you wouldn't be able to tell it was Jesus. I mean, you wouldn't be able to pick out and say, he's unique. He's different than anybody else. The Bible said he took on him the form of a servant. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You remember when he said something to Simon Peter one time, who do men say that I am? And he said, well, some people say you're Elias, some of you one of the other prophets. He said, but who do you say that I am? He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee. Now that doesn't mean that nobody taught him that. He said, there's nothing to look at me. You could not look at me and tell that I was God incarnate in human flesh. He looked like an ordinary man. And so, but he did say this. He said, don't make an image to me. Don't make an image to me. And you have to be careful about that. But now, here's the point this morning. Who are you going to liken him to? In other words, you're going to say Jesus is like and it equals this. Well, the truth of the matter is he's incomparable. Some people say, when you're talking about cars, they say, well, now you got to compare apples and oranges. You can't compare apples to oranges. And they do that with a lot of different things. That's just an old saying. You can't compare apples and oranges. Why? Because an apple is not an orange and an orange is not an apple. But the truth of the matter is, there's nobody to compare him to. There's nobody to compare him to. And you say, what do you mean we couldn't compare him? Because there's not but one of him. I mean, there's not some that are a little bit like him. No, he's just one. There's one God. One God. No, he says in this passage of scripture, there's nobody like him. Now, I'm going to use the name, Jesus. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Jesus was God incarnate in human flesh. But I want to say to you this morning, there's nobody like Jesus. There's nobody like him. There's nobody like him in this, he says, in creation. There's nobody, because nobody else has ever created anything. Oh, you say, well, Brother Billy, I got an iPod and somebody created that. And I've got a computer at home and somebody created that. And I've got an automobile and somebody created that. No. The Bible said there's no new thing under the earth. Did you know that everything that you have is made out of something that was already here when they got here? They may have rearranged it and they may have fashioned it. But God made every bit of it. Bible says the earth is the Lord's. That means all the polymers. It means all the metals. It means everything, every piece of silver, every piece of gold. It's all his. The Bible said this, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And it goes on to say this, that's Jesus. And it says this, without him was not anything made that was made. He made everything. There's no comparing Jesus when it comes to creation. He fashioned everything. I mean, he made it. You think about, he said, who do you know that could bring the stars out at night? Well, there's nobody could do that. And he said, beyond that, who do you know that could bring all the stars out at night and call them every one by name? Now, years ago, I remembered, and I said something to somebody recently, how long has it been since you just went out on a starlit night and just looked at the stars? I can remember as a boy, a lot of times just laying out in the yard. Of course, didn't have street lights. Didn't have any outside lights about anything. And you could see the stars. When I was pastoring down in Valdosta, Georgia, we lived right in the middle of town. Had a fellow in our church named Danny Henley who lives 36 miles from church. And we'd go out to see him from time to time. He's out in the middle of nowhere. I mean, he was out in what you call the boonies. And he nothing out there, just his farm. Nobody even lived very close to him. And he'd say, come on, Brother Billy, let's go out in the backyard. We'd go out in the backyard. We'd walk out in his pasture out there. And he said, listen to that. You know what you hear? All you can, you might hear a bullfrog. You might hear sometime a bird at night. But it was no, you couldn't hear a car. You couldn't hear a motorcycle. You couldn't hear nothing out there. And then he looked and he said, look at this. Boy, I mean, as far as you could see. I've never been, Marty and some of these guys who've been out west on trips, and I've never been out to what they call the big sky country when you get out west. And they said, and some of Sammy who's traveled at night, they say out west, the starlit night's amazing. But now think about, number one, he made all of it. He made all of it. Spoke it into existence. And then he knows everyone by name. And every time we have any technology that's developed in science and we increase the power of a telescope, you know what they see? More stars. And more stars. And more stars. And he knows them all. And he made them all. And the Bible says not only that, but he created everything in this world. Everything here. All the microcosmic things that you can't see, the things that are so very small, the atoms, everything that you see is made of. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says this amazing thing about the Lord. It says everything that is made out of things that are invisible. Now, if you take something that's invisible and pile it in a pile and keep piling something that's invisible in a pile, he said everything you see is made out of atoms. And of course, you know, in an atom, there is motion in an atom. There's a neutron, proton, electron, and there's motion. It's always whirling around. And so you take all these atoms and you make a man out of him. Or you make a tree out of him. And when he fashioned, and there's nobody like him in creation because he made everything that you see out of things you cannot see. And beyond that, he says, by him all things consist. You've got all these atoms that kind of lumped up together. And every one of them, every individual atom has motion in it. And why in the world do we just not come apart? Besides that, you're on this planet and it's rotating and revolving and flying through space. And you're not slung out yonder somewhere. By him all things consist. There's nobody like him. I mean, you take the greatest mind that this you've ever known. He cannot make one star. And God made them all. And he knows them all. And by him all things consist. Think about, I preach the message on the birds are still singing. And the Bible says that he feeds all of his creation every day. None like him in creation. None like him in the uniqueness of creation. You think about he created everything you see. It said, who did he consult with? I mean, who did he decide how to make a bumblebee? You know, scientists, aerodynamics says a bumblebee cannot fly, but they do every day. Body's too big for the wings it has. But God caused him to fly. You know, and he made, God said, let's create all the animal life. And so, boom, he created animal life. And it made the giraffe. Now, would you ever thought about making a giraffe? I mean, something with a neck that long, legs that long. And all the fish of the sea, the different... He created fish that people never even see unless they have one of those super subs that go way down deep. He's made fish with headlights. Did you know that? They're down in the depths of the sea. Nobody like him. Nobody can create life. Nobody can fashion and form and make such a variety of his creation. Nobody like him in creation. Didn't have to consult with anybody. And his comprehension of it. You know, when I was a boy growing up, I opened the back of a watch one time. And my daddy had a good friend. The man's name was Earl and the lady's name was Lois. She was Lois Paul. She ran a jewelry store there in town and sold watches. And they came in and I had the back off my watch. I was just a little feller. And I had the watch. And Earl made a statement. You've probably heard it. He said, Billy, you know, there's two people takes the back off of a watch. And I said, really? He said, yeah. He said, one is a fool, the other's a watchmaker. I remember that to this day. I don't think I've ever taken the back off a watch again. Because that watch is, you got to know if you're a watchmaker, you know how it works. Well, see, he fashioned all this and he knows all the stars by name. He knows everything. Knows all the birds. The Bible said he feeds all the animals. Knows every one of them. Not one sparrow, not even this great God who created everything. He did not wind it up like a clock and go off and leave it. In fact, he is so interested in his creation that if a sparrow stumbles, the Bible says not one falls to the ground. It means literally that he stumbles. If he's walking along, gets kind of staggered a little bit. He said, God knows that. But he said this. He said he can measure the dust. He knows every particle of dust. Amazing. There's none like him in creation. In the origination of creation. And the continuation of creation. None like it. None like it. Hey, I remember when I was taking a science class, physical science class one time. I don't remember much about it. But I do remember this. Did you know he created everything that's needed in this world and it's lasted now for these thousands of years and it's all here. Now you look at the automobiles on the car, on the highway, worldwide, and remember that every one of those, by and large, are burning gasoline. And it's been pumped out. Have you ever wondered why the world is not like a balloon, it would just collapse after a while. All of that sucked out of the inside of it. The millions and billions and billions of gallons of oil pulled out of the earth. Boy, we're creating some hole somewhere. And it looks like it just kind of collapsed like a balloon with no air in it, doesn't it? Think about this. The water he created the day he spoke it into existence is the only water this world's ever had. It's still here. You're drinking the water that Cleopatra drank. Isn't that something? He created it. And boy, you know, the pure water filters came out. Boy, they thought they had a real good idea when they created the water filters. But all of these thousands of years, God has been, you think about what's happened and all the different kind of natural pollution that takes place. Cows dying in creeks and rivers and all of that. Fish dying and animals dying and all the pollution. And yet God made a filtration system. Made a way to purify that water. And people have been living and people have been drinking water for millions and millions. For these thousands and thousands of years now. Not millions, but thousands of years. None like him in creation. None like him in creation. You know, we have such good engineers in our automobile. They know how to make a car that will stay together until the warranty runs out. And 2 days after the warranty runs out, everything falls off of it. But what he set in motion in creation is still here. Did you know that since creation, almost, I think, 6,000 years, since creation... Did you know that not one of his physical laws has ever changed? The law of aerodynamics has never changed. The law of gravity. Wow. Just suppose somewhere along the line in all these thousands of years for about a 30-second span, gravity would quit. Boy, wouldn't that be something? But it had never happened yet. All of his physical laws are still going. Still going. Law of evaporation and condensation. All those things amazing. All the process of deterioration. You say, well, it's a sad thing to see my old favorite tree die. Why, if it didn't die, you wouldn't have any more life. Did you know that the very process of death and decay was in his plan? In his plan. It's an amazing thing. And how that he sustained all the creation all these years. None like him. None like him. He keeps it going. Tides still come in and out. sun still rises and sets. It's been that way, and people have set their lives up according to the timetable of the rising and setting of the sun. Never varies. Never changes. Same way all this time. None like Him in creation. None like Him in creation. None like Him in wisdom. He said, who did He seek counsel? We think we know better than God in certain things, but everything we've ever tried with all our advances of science that go contrary to what we call the laws of nature, which are really the laws of God, we find out that we are wrong and it's right. None like Him in wisdom. I mean, you can't compare Him to any. You see, in the first place, God, here's an old statement. Has it ever occurred to you that nothing ever occurred to God? Has it ever occurred to you? There's none like Him in wisdom. He knows everything instantly, effortlessly, continually. God does not have to think. He doesn't have to go through the process that you do. He has no Alzheimer's. Even though young shall be weary and faint, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Because he's not diminished. We've called Him the old man in the sky, but truth of the matter is, He's not old, He's eternal. He's never aged. He doesn't have gray hair, no wrinkles, eternal, no dementia. Knows everything effortlessly. He knows your thoughts before you think them. He hears the prayers of millions of people individually with complete discernment. He knows all about it. He knows your needs before you ever ask Him. He knows the way that you take, Job said. He knows everything about you. He fashioned you in the womb before you ever knew that you were there, before your mother ever knew you were there. He knew you were there. He fashioned you in the womb. And the psalmist says, I'm wonderfully and fearfully made. He fashioned me. Now, you're talking about a miracle. You're talking about Him and His wisdom and His power and His creation. How is it that you can have one egg and one sperm and they get together and create a baby? And that cell begins to divide. But not only does it begin to divide, but at some point in time, that's just mushy. That's a good scientific term, mushy. Don't look at me like that. You knew exactly what I was talking about when I said mushy. An egg, crack an egg, it's mushy. But if you put that egg under a mama hen, that's the only kind of hen mamas you do have is mama hens. But you put that egg under a hen, and that yellow and that white, God does a wonderful thing. It will begin to develop. And it will make breast and thighs and chicken wings. Hallelujah. But at some point in time, that squishy egg will begin to make feathers. And part of it will turn into bone. Isn't that amazing? Does that blow your mind? God did that. There's no comparing Him to wisdom. How He could do that. You hold a baby in your hand, you're holding a miracle of God's grace from a little bitty squishy thing to being a baby with eyes and ears and toes, breathing, crying, hearing. Even before it gets into this world, it can hear. Even before it gets in this world, it can think. Even before it gets in this world, it can suck its thumb. We know that now. And it is a baby from conception. America's guilty of murder Hitler. Hitler is not comparable to what we've done in America. God in His infinite wisdom in creation, all those things, none to compare Him to. You read this passage of Scripture over and over again, it'd get bigger to you too. None like Him in creation. None like Him in His wisdom. None like Him in His power. Not like him in his power. The atomic bomb. Oh, what awesome Hiroshima and all those things where the bomb was exploded. What horrible, hideous power was unleashed. It's an atom. But he put all that power there. Man, I tell you, I am a big respecter of lightning. My mama put the fear of God in me about lightning. My mama, if a cloud come up, she'd hear a clap of thunder. You know what she did? She put all that. If we had a dog in the house, dog goes out because dogs attract lightning. Did y'all know that? Some of you know that. My mama, boy, that dog, choo, he was out of here. He's out in the yard because dogs attract lightning. You cut everything off. You unplug everything. Mama unplugged everything. Get in the middle of the bed. Don't put your feet on the floor. Lightning. Regina and I were coming back out of Reedsville, out of Benson one day, turned on 242 and came down not long, far from where Floyd and Sharon live. I mean, we just coming, it was cloud come up, but I've not seen the lightning yet. This is the first time I've ever seen it. Hadn't heard a thunder, but it was dark. You knew it was coming. On the passenger side, about maybe 200 yards in front of us in a fence row, a pine tree exploded. I thought somebody shot off dynamite, honest, before. Man, it went all over the road and all out everywhere else and burst into flames. And I realized what had happened. Lightning had exploded that pine tree and set it on fire just like that. I don't know all the statistics, and I don't want to bore you with statistics, but I have heard that in one bolt of lightning, there's enough electrical current to light and to maintain light in New York City for some, I forgot what it was, 24 hours or a week. In one bolt of lightning. Look at Greg Fisher somebody when he shows those lightning strikes. Power. Power. The might of the tornado and the hurricane and all those things. We see his power demonstrated then. But his great powerful force in this world is God. There's a guy that you see on UNCTV sometime named Wayne something or other. And he talks about the power of, what is it, purpose or something. I forgot what he calls it now. And he talks about this mysterious power, force. And he describes it like this. If you get on a trolley car or something other, you reach up and you hold on to the strap and you just ride along propelled by the power of that subway or tram or whatever. And he says that's a mysterious force. Well, there's no mystery about what the power in this world is. It's God. He has all power. He said, Matthew, fear not. Go in all the world and preach the gospel. He said, I have all power. He got all the power. He got all power. No way to compare him in his power, in his wisdom, in his creative ability. No comparison. There's nobody to compare him to. None of those things. Nobody comparing to so far as his blessings on us. He is the giver of every good and perfect gift. Now that means in Hindu countries, in Muslim countries, in communist countries, in democracies, in a country where everybody's black, in a country where everybody's red, in a country where everybody's yellow, in a country where everybody's white. Every good and perfect gift comes down from him. Every one of them. Every one of them. Devil can't create nothing. God is the giver of every good and perfect gift. Guess what the Bible said? He's the giver of every good and perfect gift. Bible said God makes it rain on the just and the unjust. Rain. You don't think rain's important. You let it quit raining for just a short period of time. Find out what happens in Raleigh when Falls Lake goes down to dangerous areas. All it did is just cut the water tap off a little while. Just a little while. But he's in control of everything. All of your food supply. Every bit of it. One, you know, in Elba, Alabama, there's a monument in the middle of town. You know what's on top of it? A boll weevil. That used to be cotton was king in that part of Alabama. And God sent a little bug about that big and destroyed it and put them out of business. And then they got to doing other things and made a lot of money, so they made a statue of the boll weevil. God, there's nobody like him in provision. Every mouthful of food you've ever eaten, if you're saved or lost, he gave you. Every breath you've ever breathed, whether saved or lost, he gave it to you. Every drop of rain that's ever failed, God gave that to mankind. Every one of them. In his provision. None like him. Who are you gonna like? He's incomparable, is what I'm trying to tell you. You can't compare him to anything, anybody. Can I say this to you now? I'm through. Our radio time's gone. Cannot compare him to anybody in regard to salvation. He's incomparable. Bible said that there's one Savior, one mediator between God and man. And his name is Jesus. Amen. One. Between God and man, there's only one. His name is Jesus. Incomparable. None like him. None like him. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoso believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That name is Jesus. Incomparable. And no way, nobody can save. Nobody can save. Nobody can save but Jesus. But he said, I'll save all that call upon me and all that come to me. Now, do you believe a God who can create everything and keep it all running? Do you think a God who has all wisdom and all power and all knowledge, do you think you might could trust him to take you to heaven? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He's able to save to the uttermost all that call upon him. He said, all that thou givest me shall come to me. You're not going to lose one of them. He's able to keep you saved, able to save you, forgive all your sins. You see, he knows all about you. He knew you before you was ever born. He knew your past sins and knows your future sins. And when he died on the cross, all of your sins were yet future. But he looked down through time. Only God could do that. And he knows every one of your names. He knows you, every hair of your head's numbered. All of your sin he knows. And on Calvary's cross, when Jesus died, he bore the sins of all the world, of all the ages, on himself. And he suffered and bled and died. None like that. Every religion in the world puts the emphasis on what you do for your God to please him in order to go to whatever kind of heaven he has. He's the true God, the real God. And you don't go to heaven because of what you do. You go to heaven because of what he's done. You can't compare him to, you can't, cannot compare that to Islam. You cannot compare that to any other religion. It's not the same. No way you can compare it. He gave his life a ransom, shed his blood that whoso will may come. Listen, he makes you a promise. If you'll come to me, I'll in no wise cast you out. Able to save to the uttermost all that come on him. Now to him that's able to keep that. Paul said he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him. None like him. That'll forgive every one of your sins and make you a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. Nobody like Jesus. There's not one that made a promise, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. And old Dr. Billy Connoy used to say, you can't leave somebody, won't leave you. And he said, I'm not going to leave you. I'll stay with you. I'll stay with you. He's going to save to the uttermost. And he's able to do that. He made a promise. You don't have any friend like Jesus. I have been blessed. I have some of the most wonderful friends in this church. And nobody. Nobody has a friend like Jesus. Brother Brad, if y'all come. I want you to know this. You don't have a friend like Jesus. no, not one. You don't have anyone close to that like him.